Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C. This is Agriculture Today.
If we see return to maybe normal conditions where, you know, we have adequate moisture, that having those more beef cows is certainly going to pay off, right, in the form of more calves and higher marketing.
Lee Schultz is an Iowa State livestock economist and admits drought is a big factor for the market.
But, you know, if we see conditions deteriorate, then we're going to see, you know, the need to, I think, reduce some of those herds. So, you know, I think it is a little bit of a gamble. It's a little bit of a counter-cyclical behavior, but that's what cattle production is, right? I mean, it is very risky, and I think, you know, could set up well for the state of Iowa and other states that have increased just because of what we're seeing with the national trend of tightening inventories and higher prices.
This is Agriculture Today.
How do we make a carrier hold their window, take our product, and deliver it to the person we sold it to?
Aubrey Betancourt is president and CEO of the Almond Alliance.
One is, again, I keep waiting to hear when is my buyer going to scream. I need my buyer to scream and yell and demand this. I think there's another component to this that really comes down to standing up for American business, standing up for our California industry and saying, you know what? You cannot dog us like this. But the reality of it is, you know, I get asked this all the time. That seems like a real weak answer. Well, it is a weak answer because I don't actually have any legal recourse to make a foreign carrier take my product. The Federal Maritime Commission, unfortunately, has little to no teeth. They have a great oversight component. You can do reporting with them, and I would encourage you to check out their website as well. They do have resources for filing complaints and going through mediation processes and things like that. But what is so interesting is, you know, indicative to a lot of parts of you know, whether we're talking infrastructure or the operations and legal structures on our infrastructure, we're out of date and we need to update them, both from a physical standpoint, but also from I think, the legal and regulatory standpoint. And so we are very supportive of a piece of legislation called the Ocean Shipping Reform Act, which has passed through the House of Representatives. It was actually co-authored by Member Garamendi from here in California. A Senate version has dropped. We like it. We'd like to see it have a little more teeth dealing with fines and fees and rate hikes with detention and demurrage of containers and other things. We're working through it. We're glad to see support. We've been working through the committee as well. We were glad to see support from the House pushing on their friends in the Senate to drop that too. What is really the point of the Ocean Shipping Reform Act? To give teeth to the FMC so we can go to the FMC and say, go put the hurt on the carriers, or go have some oversight and accountability on the carriers so they have to play fair with us. That's a long-term fix. That's not going to get my cash flow to my guy tomorrow. That's not going to get the Port of Oakland the carriers they need to get my product out the door. That's not going to unlog the 77 ships lined up at Long Beach. So what are we asking for in the meantime? It is a lot of Band-Aid fixes, and this is where I kind of come back to. We're having to solve these problems for ourselves. We're having to identify the solutions for ourselves. We're having to network with our ports in ways we've never done before. I never knew I was going to be on a call one day really worried about how we're doing reefer policies in Houston. But if they're going to pull all the reefer units off of the Houston port and park them somewhere and they're leaving them on a chassis, that limits the number of chassis available on the road generally that can get to me in California. So now all of a sudden I really care about what Foster Farms and some of my Zaki guys are doing down in Houston. And it's pulling the ag community together in a way that is, I think, actually very good. Very unique. But a couple of the things we're asking for just in the short term is universal increases on gross vehicle weights nationwide. We have a patchwork system. Trucks aren't able to use. We have some of our heavier trucks, our overnight, our sleeper trucks. They could be on the road helping us, but they exceed the truck weight requirements, and so they can't be helping us. So we're kind of tying one arm behind our back.
But we have to keep the story on the front burner.
Look, I had on the national news today for the first time in a couple of weeks, and I didn't hear a single thing about supply chain being an issue, and I was like, that's the problem right there. Because I know every staffer in all those buildings are watching the same thing, and they didn't see it either. And so if they're not seeing it, and they're not hearing from us, and they're not getting the headline, and they're not being told this is a number one issue for their constituents in an election year, they should be out here looking for many, many ways to do anything they can.
It's Agriculture Today.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
And what you're seeing is cash leading futures.
Lee Schultz is an Iowa State livestock economist on what's driving cattle markets today.
You know, we were up probably $2 across the board. When you looked in the south, you were in that 142 to 142.5, maybe 143 here. In the north, 142 to 143. You've really seen the spread between the north and the south really decline, as we've seen choice select spread really narrow. And so, you know, when we look at futures prices, February, we actually seen Thursday made a contract high for that contract. Overall, we were up minimally for the week, but we were positive across the board on fed cattle. Feeder cattle, you know, really what's driving this market is the mid to lightweight feeders, those feeders that are really going to hit grass as it warms up. And we're not that far out from that, so especially as you look at the south. So I think a lot of optimism when you look at feeder cattle prices. You don't got to look any further to the difference between May and August. You got about a $11 spread there currently. You know, that shows the optimism as we get into the summer.
So cow-calf producers do encounter a considerable amount of price risk from calving time to the point at which those wean calves are sold. Different ways of negotiating that risk, including using USDA's Livestock Risk Protection Insurance Program.
That's what we have, what we call traditional strategy. So this is self-insurance, which is basically not directly managing price risk. There's backgrounding, so using retained ownership to be able to ride out low price periods. There's also formal strategy. So get hedging, you can be active in futures markets, you could buy a put. LRP, livestock risk protection, it's part of the federal crop insurance program. It's a product for livestock producers. LRP is basically a subsidized put. So it's a lower cost option than hedging, but it acts very much like hedging.
Jenny Ift is a Kansas State risk management economist, explains how LRP is set up.
Livestock risk protection, again, it's going to pay out when actual prices are lower than expected. Let's say you're calving in April and you're going to sell in October. So in April, you buy an LRP policy, you're locking in the October's futures prices. And if actual October prices are lower then in April, you're going to get a payout or an indemnity. I also do want to point out, like other insurance products, they are subsidized by the federal government. Because of this premium subsidy, producers should get back more in the long run.
She compares LRP to retaining ownership or even taking positions in the futures market and adds,
the approach we try to take is by looking at costs, looking at what your prices are with and without, and looking at your profits, what are your returns from participating? You know, if you do LRP or background, and that's going to increase your costs up front. LRP is providing protection against unexpected price declines. The subsidy, premium subsidy, has increased. It's a better value than it used to be. You know, if somebody's interested in price risk management, just wants to get started, it's going to be cheaper and simpler to do than getting into futures markets.
So Jenny Ift, Kansas State risk management economist. It's Agriculture Today.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cottonseed from AmeriCut. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cottonseed.
The advantages that we have to provide financial services in the ag is top-notch. It's the best in the country. We have a capital management plan that we all celebrate and hold very close to us at Capital Farm Credit. And that capital management plan is premised on the fact that we're a cooperative. So as a cooperative, we believe that the members of the cooperative own the capital of the cooperative. At Capital Farm Credit, together, we're better.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Well, I decided to go out and look and see what definitions I could find for a trusted advisor.
Speaking recently at World Ag Expo, Paige Gilligan, a risk management consultant at Risk Mitigators and Advisors.
And I found this on sitelock.com, and it defines a trusted advisor as someone who is considered a partner that the customer wants to work with when making strategic decisions to reach their goal. He or she offers sound and practical advice on the industry or competitive trends without putting their own interests first.
So now that we know what a trusted advisor is, how do you know if you need one?
So I'm assuming that that's maybe why you came to listen to this session and say, do I really need one? I pose two questions to you. The first one: whatever you are trying to decide, are you looking for a product or service? So how many of you have, you know, been looking for a product or service, and you're searching the web, you're going to the to the feed store or to the local coffee shop to, you know, find out what's going on, who's using what product and why? Right? Or do you want to understand business behavior, have a specific need addressed, or seek guidance on realizing your goal? There are two types of decisions that you're going to make. Okay, the second one is where you would need a trusted advisor. And if you're just looking for a product or service, then research, go find a product or service. But if you want someone that's going to be there to help get you through the strategic planning that you need, then look to a trusted advisor.
But at the end of the day, she says there's three things to remember.
If not you, then who? Someday is not a day of the week. And I want you to remember that you grow and produce amazing food, and that it is safe, and agriculture is wonderful, and it is sustainable. Okay, we've been around for a long time, and ingenuity is not a problem. If you walk around the farm show today and you see all of the technology, that's not a problem, right? But what I like to say is the ag trusted advisor can help provide the so what for you. Okay, so I'm out here looking at this nice $400,000, $500,000 tractor, you know. Yeah, it has all these great bells and whistles. So what? Right? The salesman's going to sell it to you because that's what their job is. Okay? But the trusted ag advisor is there to help you go through those situations to say, hey, yep, that's a pretty nice tractor. Where's it at on your plan? Did you want to do this? Okay. Are you looking to grow? Is it going to help you get to another spot? Then they are able to hold you accountable and keep you in line and moving forward towards your goal and whatever that goal is. Because if you can remember back at the beginning, it's about putting the customer above your own needs as an individual person. And that's what a good trusted advisor does.
It's Agriculture Today.
Stock up and save on John Deere filters and packaged oil at the South Plains Implement semi-annual sale. Now through February 28th, receive 10 to 12% off John Deere filters and packaged oil for large ag equipment, and 10% off compact tractor home maintenance kits and oil when you purchase filters. No payments, no interest options available on qualifying purchases. Some restrictions apply. See us for details. With 14 locations, there's a South Plains Implement near you. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
This is Agriculture Today.
You know, this is one that changes with every administration, and we know that it's become basically a political lightning rod and gets kicked back and forth between Democratic and Republican administrations. And when the Biden-Harris administration took over the federal government, they're now having their own chance to talk about WOTUS.
Scott Yeager is Chief Environmental Counsel with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association on WOTUS.
So what has just come to a close, really the close of an open comment period, just took place about a week ago. And the comment period was for the public to engage on a proposal that was put forward on WOTUS. And basically what it would do is put WOTUS back to the 1986 definition of WOTUS, and it's kind of a short-term effort, and then it buys them time, and by them I mean the Biden-Harris administration, it buys the Biden-Harris administration time to craft their own definition of WOTUS through a second rule. So we just finished part one is where we're at in that two-part process. They just closed the comment period, and NCBA used that opportunity to bring forward some really strong comments. We found through analyzing this proposal that it basically has some pretty troubling issues in it for cattle producers, not the least of which is that it erases all of the really important agricultural exclusions that we've had in place for a number of years that were contained in definitions of WOTUS that were written by both the Trump administration and even the Obama administration. Both of those definitions of WOTUS had clear agricultural exclusions for things like stock ponds and farm ponds, drainage features, and things, other types of features that you would find at a farm or ranch. So those are gone under the Biden proposal. So that's something that we very strongly oppose and are suggesting that the government fix throughout this process. So that's where we're at in WOTUS. They'll probably finalize a rule in the next weeks to months, and then we'll see what's in the final rule. And that final rule is going to be what becomes the law of the land until they craft a step two rule. So we're deep in the what they call the administrative rulemaking process, which is what the government has to. Those are the rules of the road for the federal government in issuing these rules. So we play a role in that all along the way to make sure that our grassroots cattle producers are heard in that process.
It might have helped had Congress defined what waters of the U.S. really are, but since they didn't, sometimes it goes to the court.
There's a very different court than there was back the last time the Supreme Court looked at the issue of WOTUS, which was in 2006 in the Rapanos case. Now we've got a stronger conservative majority that is going to look, I think, very critically at this issue and provide us, I hope, some clear guidance. Now, it doesn't mean the fact that there is a 6-3 conservative majority does not mean it's automatically going to give us a slam dunk and provide clear guidance and limit the scope of the Clean Water Act. That's not the case. These issues typically are very complicated. And while the ideology of the justices on the bench play into it, it's not going to be what ultimately how they decide it. So it's one we're going to be watching very carefully. And in fact, we just got approval, preliminary approvals to actually file a brief in a Supreme Court case. So we'll be looking at that to make sure that we get the voice of the cattle industry heard in that case as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
Now is the time to sell. Demand for used equipment is high, and Purple Wave Auction can help you reach the largest community of online buyers. Whether you have a single item or an entire fleet, Purple Wave Auction offers a hassle-free way to sell your equipment. Visit purplewave.com. Straight, simple, sold.
Aqua Yield regional agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burn down.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burn down herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at aquayield.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We're having good crops a lot of places around the world.
Guy Allen is senior economist with the IGP Institute at Kansas State.
At the moment, I highlight Australia. They're just finishing up record harvest of about 34 million metric tons of wheat. And that follows a record crop, previous record crop that they had last year. On top of that, Australia's exports were tripled from a year ago for the month of November and remaining strong for December as they're continuing to move that record crop into the marketplace, particularly into those higher priced markets of Southeast Asia, Asia, and the Middle East there.
And we have to keep an eye on the Black Sea region where Russian numbers are unchanged.
75.5 million metric tons. That's a big number. Their exports were reduced by 1 million tons to 35 million metric tons for this current marketing year. Likewise, Ukraine was left unchanged at 33 million metric tons, with their exports at 25.5 million metric tons. I guess the key thing I'm watching about this Black Sea area is we're all aware Russia's massed some troops on the border of the Ukraine. Will there be some military action in that area? So just keeping a pretty close eye on that geopolitical situation that we're seeing in that Black Sea region and its potential to maybe disrupt the export trade flows.
What about wheat to China? Well, he says China.
They're the world's largest wheat producer, unchanged, about 137 million metric tons. Their import numbers expected to be just under 10 million metric tons this year, but we really haven't seen them come to the U.S. market or to the market in general for any buying just yet. So we'll keep a close watch on those countries.
But there are positives for grain sales. One, ocean freight cost.
Just in the last week, we saw ocean freight levels, this is the Baltic Dry Freight Index, drop to lower numbers of 1873. Keep in mind, back in early October, we saw that index up at the 5,680. So it's fallen more than half. Although if we look at longer-term relative numbers, 1873 isn't a low number. It's a relatively high number historically. That's not surprising. I think we're back down to more nominal levels here, given the higher fuel costs and oil costs, which is your biggest variable cost for transportation and freight. This would sort of suggest maybe we've worked out a lot of the supply chain issues for bulk commodities. Keep in mind, over two-thirds of demand for dry bulk freight comes with coal and iron ore, and it's really iron ore and coal that drive this market.
Lower freight rates allow the U.S. to be more competitive.
This sure helps the comparative advantage or disadvantage the U.S. has, given its distance from those high-value markets. Higher freight really hurts us with this coming down. Maybe we can expect to see some of that export demand come to the table. But when you're competing with origins like the Black Sea, Australia particularly, and European exports, their freight rates are notably less as their distances are less, and higher freight rates really, really hurt our export programs.
And with a falling dollar?
The dollar exchange rate is key. We saw that dollars drop to about 11-week low, coming in at 95.16, which should help the competitiveness of U.S. commodities in that global marketplace. Not only do we have relatively high commodity prices in the U.S., but when you add high freight rates on top of that, it just makes our products look extremely expensive to a lot of countries around the world.
It's Agriculture Today.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
My dad moved to the operation that we're on in 1954. At that time, it was a roughly 100-cow outfit.
That's Ed Blair. He's a South Dakota rancher, owner of Blair Brothers Angus, on how he ended up in the area.
Vail, by the way, is right north of Sturgis, South Dakota, and that's a place where every year in August, we invite about 500,000 of our closest fans to come up for a party. And those guys do know how to party. They come riding in on their motorcycles. But, you know, that's kind of the unique area that we're in. It's a real pretty area. There's a lot to see. I can understand why they do that, I guess. And what's amazing is, you know, they'll come in a Bluebird bus pulling a trailer, you know, half that size, and got the Corvette in there and the motorcycles. And the big deal is it's 10 days and then they're gone again. And we're back to our little town of 6,000 people, you know.
Says what he really loves about it is it's remained a natural habitat.
That area is really good, and it's an old area. That area is older than the Rocky Mountains. And, you know, and we get some uplift because of the Black Hills in there, and maybe do get a little more rain in there. The thing about that I like, you know, we aren't overpopulated yet, although there's quite a lot of people moving into the area in the last year since COVID. You know, these people that can work from any place, why quite a lot of them are choosing, you know, the Black Hills. And part of it's a good deal, I think. You know, you got to have progress as you go along. But, you know, and part of it, we could keep it like we have had it, you know.
Blair, an award winner, and talks about caring for the land.
The big thing with land management, you got to look at it that, you know, first you got to put in the water. You've got, especially in our country. I mean, you go to other parts of the country where I know they've got too much water. You know, so that's a completely different thing than the situation that I'm in, where we're looking at a 14-inch rainfall area and runoff water is the only thing that we can get, because a well in our area is 3,800 feet. To hit water, you know, fairly good water, and even at that, well, you're looking at maybe 18, maybe an average well would be 18 gallons a minute at that depth, and I guess the main thing is when you're putting in water systems, make sure you size the pipe big enough. A cow will drink 25 gallons of water at least a minute, or so. Then so you're limited on how much water that you can put into a tank. You know, if you only got 20 gallons a minute, you're going to have trouble being able to water very many cows out of that, because they take so much at one time. And being able to size the pipe for the amount of animals that you're trying to water. And that's really important. Or one thing that I've really found that a lot of people don't do is they undersize the pipe, I guess.
It's Agriculture Today.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
There is a lot of optimism out there, I think, and maybe the realization that the demand is holding and supplies are tightening.
That's Lee Schultz, Iowa State livestock economist, on why he's optimistic.
You know, I will note as we look at the slaughter market, we did see this last week 663,000 head slaughtered. That's the largest we've seen here in 2022. So again, I think speaks to that demand remaining strong, but also maybe, you know, as we continue to talk about disruptions in processing, we did see some COVID peaks in January, you know, maybe an indication that we're moving behind that a little bit. I temper that a little bit with, I think we continue to see more cows go into slaughter, up double digit numbers. And so part of that rise is certainly some cows in that mix.